May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Every time I read this Easter passage, my admiration for Mary Magdalene grows more. She was indeed a brave woman. No wonder she is known as the first apostle, the apostle to the apostles. She was the first person to meet the resurrected Jesus. That is no small thing. She reminds me of the story of the three men who had to cross a river. One day, three men were walking along and came upon a raging and violent river. They needed to get across to the other side, but had no idea how to do it. The first man prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me strength to cross the river." Poof! God gave him big arms and strong legs, and he was able to swim across the river in about 2 hours. Seeing this, the second man prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me strength to cross the river." Poof! God gave him a rowboat, and he was able to row across the river in about 3 hours. The third man, seeing how things had worked out for the other two, also prayed to God, saying, "Please, God, give me strength, ability, and intelligence to cross this river." And poof, God turned him into a woman. She looked at the map and then walked across the bridge. Humor aside, the prominence of women as the initial ones to experience the power of Easter cannot be denied. God chose a woman to bring the God-child into the world. And God chose another one to be the first witness of the resurrected Christ. We wonder then why it took so long for the church to ordain women to priesthood. But this is not what I want to reflect on this morning. Let us do that on another day. Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" This morning, I want all of us to visualize how Mary Magdalene must have felt on that first Easter morning. Mary had already gone through so much in the last few days. The euphoria she had felt a few days before turned into utter desolation as she and other women waited on Jesus at the foot of the cross. She recalled how quickly things went sour within a couple of days for her beloved Lord. She thought to herself, how could they kill such a gentle and caring man? He only did nice things for people. He told people to love each other, even the enemies. She remembered how he turned her life around. She came to the tomb this morning, this early in the morning, to do what she couldn't do the previous day, to anoint Jesus' body. However, to her utter horror, disbelief, and deep anguish, what Mary saw that morning was an empty tomb. The body was gone. Bending over and looking into the tomb, all she could see was darkness and emptiness. Let us imagine that feeling. Let us imagine the darkness and that emptiness Mary must have experienced. What was next for her? Utter emptiness? What was ahead for her? Sheer darkness. Just as we imagine how it must have been for Mary, let us also look at our own prospects this morning as we gather here to celebrate Easter. Imagine Jesus asking us, calling us, each one of us, by our name, and asking us, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? If we look around the world we live in, we also see a lot of emptiness and darkness. Imagine the darkness that descended on also the village in Washington State when it was swept away in the mudslide. Imagine the emptiness of the families and loved ones of the passengers of the Malaysian flight that sank into the depth of the Indian Ocean. Imagine the darkness of the hundreds of families grieving the loss of their children in the ferry accident off the coast of South Korea. Imagine the emptiness of the families and children who are separated, displaced, and exiled in Syria and Sudan and other places. How about us here in the church? Like Mary, who saw emptiness and darkness in the tomb, all of us have had experience of emptiness and darkness at least one time or another in our own lives. Some of us may be going through it right now. For some of us, the prospects of finding a job we like may seem to be beyond our reach. For others, it may be the concern for our children and our grandchildren that is darkening our lives. For some, it may be the anxious wait to hear a call from the doctor on the results of a diagnostic test done recently, or the prognosis of an illness we are having. And then there are those who are worried about not having sufficient funds to carry us through our retirement days. Our list of emptiness and darkness seems long. Bending over and looking into the tomb, all we could see is darkness and emptiness, like Mary did that Easter morning, until she turned around. Our scripture says, when she turned around, she saw Jesus standing there. Mary was looking for Jesus in the tomb. That's the wrong place to look for Jesus. To start with, she had very low expectation. Why would you look for a dead Jesus when you can have the risen Lord? Like Mary, we need a change of perspective. Father Hyatt gave us a thought-provoking sermon last night at our vigil service on having the right perspective. We need to move from the perspective of darkness and emptiness of the tomb to the perspective of life and possibilities of the risen Lord. We need to turn around. Then we hear the loving voice of our Lord. Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Like Mary and disciples, often in life we settle for lesser things when God wants us to go for nobler things that really matter. We live to the fullest only when we strain and stretch ourselves to be what God lovingly had intended for us when He created us out of love. Friends, the default setting for existence is life. And life presupposes resurrection. Easter proclaims the final thing. The last act belongs to the Lord of love, who refuses not to love. It means that cancer and poverty and homelessness and oppression and human trafficking and war and terrorism and finally death itself do not reign in their penultimate natures. Easter means God's love reigns. This Eastering of Jesus from the tomb is therefore the final thing. It is the unparalleled, supreme act of God conquering all next to the last things. We are celebrating Easter in the here and now by living it each and every day. For us, Easter is not a reenactment of something that happened 2,000 years ago. Rather, it is a way of being for us today. It is not just something that happened in the past, but it is something that is happening every single day. It is not just something that happened to Mary and the disciples of Jesus, but it is something that is happening to us in our lives, yours and mine. Friends, we are an Easter people living Easter in a Good Friday world. We rise up with Jesus each time we are knocked down. Easter is a miracle, yes, but it is a normal and standard fare for us. It is so normal and standard for us that we don't even notice when it happens in our lives. The resurrected Christ was standing face to face with Mary, and yet she did not know that it was he whom she was looking for. Easter is all around us. It's a matter of perceiving it and incorporating it into our own lives. By living our hopeful Easter lives, we are helping and participating in the building up of the kingdom of God here on earth. Alleluia! The Lord is risen.
Alleluia!
Alleluia.